The University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to January 2009.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and happy 2009 to you all. This is our first show in the new year in the new Obama-Rama era, so we are happy campers here on campus. So let me introduce the panel to you. To my right, from the Department of History, its chair, as well as the person who manages our Black Abolitionist Archives, and someone very happy about the election and the inauguration, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy, it's good to be here, and I promise to fulfill my role as panelist faithfully.
All right. Make sure you get that right. Well, I mean, what happened there? Was it both of them seemed to kind of jump the gun or
Obama,
something?
Obama, I think, had memorized it, and I think Roberts was, at least this is what they've said in the press, Roberts was trying to wing it from memory, and he moved faithfully and possibly other words around,
and it threw
Obama off, so he just stopped.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to comment that a CBC commentator said this will be probably the one and only time that Barack Obama appears unsure of himself on camera. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, good comment. All right. At the far end of the table from the College of Engineering and Science in the Department of Math and Math Education is Professor Jeff Boats.
What up, dog?
Not nob dog.
No, I was there at the we actually had a job candidate interviewing on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
And we had planned to take him out to lunch, and we actually rescheduled the entire interview process so that we could all go over to the loft
yay.
And watch.
Oh, you watched it in the loft? We watched it in the building with the students. Dr. Dix, our executive producer, who is just such a thoughtful person, made sure that David Crawford, who's with our staff here in Communication Studies, had TVs out in the hallways so people could watch. It was a wonderful moment to sit with students and faculty and a family that came in for a campus visit, and they couldn't believe that a college would stop its day to watch something like this.
Oh,
they were very
impressed.
Stopped. I was like, hello, where do you think we'd be? You know, so which was kind of unusual.
The loft was full, and Dean Hanifin came and sat in front of me, and when the positive things were said about, you know, science, he was applauding.
Oh, I bet. Hey, well, there was a lot to applaud there.
I think I was one of the three people in the room who clapped when they talked about science.
Well, don't worry. It even got a round of applause over here in the Arts College. So, and finally, from the College of Engineering and Science for its pre-college engineering programs, it's Dan, the DAPSAT man, Mascio.
Hi, Kathy.
Hey, glad to have
you with us.
Happy New Year to you. So did you watch the inauguration?
I did.
And we're going to be joined by Professor Eric Barnes from Criminal Justice and Intelligence Analysis, but he's busy helping a student register late. So once he gets that paperwork done, you'll get to hear his lovely dulcet tones. So this is the program where you send in questions, and if you stump the panel, you can win one of two fabulous T-shirts. And if you don't stump the panel, you still get a T-shirt. So, hey, come on. It's, believe it or not, winter will end eventually. It may not seem like that now, folks, here in Michigan, where we've descended into the seventh circle of hellish cold. But nevertheless, those T-shirts are going to come in handy at some point.
The piles on each side of my driveway are now up to my shoulders.
And here's Professor Barnes joining us now. Yes, so how can you get one of those T-shirts?
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And hi, Eric.
Hello.
And what are you wearing on your lapel?
My police pin.
Oh, is it the Dancing Deer of Michigan?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's
I love it.
The
disco
Dancing
deer,
and it says Sway Boar.
All right. Very sharp.
Really a dancing deer.
That's what we always said on the stage shield. They were the disco deer. They always looked like they were having a really good time on that stage shield. Sure, why not? Well, our first set of questions are actually to commemorate the inaugural, and since Roy put them together, it's only fair to let Roy read them. So we're going to switch mics here and. You can read them from there.
Okay, fine.
So go for it.
Well, these are 20 questions, and I'm a hard-nosed teacher, so I made 16 a passing grade.
Oh!
Ooh. But I think, you know, I'll summon my best effort to give Kathyan clues.
Okay.
We're going to give you a really bad review. It's a good thing you're already full professor.
Yeah, what's our evaluation?
Yeah, I'm going to ratemyprofessor.com.
No chili peppers for you, man.
For those of us who've actually gone on ratemyprofessor.com and checked themselves out,
really?
As well as some of their colleagues,
uh-oh,
it's quite interesting to see who Now, I didn't expect anybody classifying me as hot.
You got a chili pepper.
Vicky Bensopoulos got
did you?
Three
no,
chili
no,
peppers.
No, no, no. Wow. But I'm surprised by some of the people that did.
Yeah, it's wow. Pretty scary, eh?
Yeah.
But Vicky deserves her three chili peppers.
Oh. Well, let's start back at the beginning. George Washington was inaugurated as the nation's first president in 1789 in what city?
Philadelphia.
Mm-mm.
No,
New York.
No.
New York City?
Right,
New York,
right, right, right. Yeah, it was New York, and then the capital moved to Philadelphia, and then to...
Did you?
D.C.
Cardinal to the bog.
Sin. That was somebody...
Wasn't that a compromise issue?
There was a compromise between North and South. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So yeah. Washington.
They went to the most godforsaken place they could.
Hot at that place point. In the summer. It's yes. So humid.
Swamp
there
infest, malaria infested.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
And in fact, the first presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. took place in what year?
D.C.?
In D.C.?
Mm. Sheesh. 1801.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Pretty good.
Dan, you the man. Man.
So Dan was just contacted by his...
two history questions in a row.
Wow.
Can you stand
his
it?
Lifeline just connected.
All right.
I think if you get five in a row, I think you get an honorary tweed jacket.
Yeah, there you go.
Dan's going to be a slum dog billionaire next. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is more of a location question. Presidents were traditionally sworn in on the east portico of the Capitol, until this president moved it to its current location on the Capitol's west steps, symbolizing
that.
His own connection to the American West.
West Wing? Teddy Roosevelt?
The Capitol's west steps.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were referring to the West Wing. Oh.
Just think old.
I don't know.
Old.
Reagan,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was trying to do that mm-hmm. west connection.
Mm-hmm. Is he the only Californian president?
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so.
Well, yes and no. Nixon.
Well, yeah that's mm-hmm. true. Yeah.
Okay.
And there are others that, kind of made that connection later, I think. Well, they didn't want to return to, just like the Clintons didn't want to return to Arkansas.
Right.
Come on, Fayetteville, what's the matter with that?
I'm guessing that if we ever have a president from Idaho, they probably won't return there.
Boise? No.
We've changed the date when we've inaugurated a president. Presidents were inaugurated on what date until 1937, when the official inauguration date was changed to January 20th?
Was it the 1st or the 9th?
I was going to say the 1st.
It's a later month, actually, than January.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? I don't know.
Let's see.
Kathy's able to guess.
I saw these.
So, in all fairness.
I just can't, but I'm just saying it was a later date, and it might
Is the month significant for any other reason? I mean,
think spring
political
break.
Reason? Oh, March. Okay, now we got March, but
wait till
be
March.
Ready the Ides of March.
I'll guess March 21st.
Way too late.
15th?
Still too late.
Mm-hmm. Six.
First.
I don't know.
First? Between the first
we're going to be guessing
sixth.
On day third.
Little
second.
More. Little more.
Fourth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yay.
Absolutely.
Why that day?
Yeah, why the fourth?
Because it's 4 months after Election Day or something like that?
Well, I don't know the exact reason. Obviously, they wanted a long interregnum because travel was much more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, imagine difficult. Going,
that's just an arbitrary date that they selected.
I mean, you get home, you kiss your wife, and you can say, okay, it's going to take me 20-some days to get back to the Capitol.
Right, absolutely.
See ya.
Yeah.
And the reason they changed it is because just as we've been waiting, some of us at least, for the inauguration of a new president, FDR came in 1933 at the height of the Depression.
Oh, my God,
right.
That
and
so...
people had to wait for till March for him to take over. And at that point, Congress stepped in and said, let's shorten this up a little bit.
Yeah, enough is enough. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Poor people.
Which president initiated the tradition of taking the oath of office on a Bible?
On a Bible, yeah.
That's got to be early.
It's early. It's early. It's before that.
I said at least Lincoln.
It's not Lincoln.
Yeah. It's not Lincoln.
Yeah, earlier than him, then.
Yeah.
Van Buren. I don't know.
Washington.
Keep going back. George Washington started.
Washington.
And obviously, when Washington set the example, mm-hmm. people
come
followed.
Come on, really?
There actually is one president who did not swear on a Bible for religious reasons. His particular denomination prevented him from taking religious oaths. And so he simply affirmed.
Affirmation.
Oh, I heard that.
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have that option in court.
Mm-hmm. Do you really?
Yes, if you do. If you're going to testify in court and your religion prohibits you from swearing on the Bible or you believe in some other deity,
oh my gosh.
You can take what's called an affirmation.
Oh, that's
that's cool.
So you have that. Mm-hmm. You have that legal
option.
That's
really American. Excellent.
And that's been in. That's, you know, goes back common law, I believe. You
can. Now, I know political office holders can do this, just as Keith Ellison did. But I assume you have the option if you are of another religion, for instance, Islamic, of going in and swearing on the Quran or something else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was sworn in with Thomas Jefferson's Quran.
I know, which I thought that was so great.
You know, he's from here.
Yes, he is originally from Michigan.
He went to UD High.
Yes.
Who?
Keith Ellison. First Muslim member of Congress.
Oh, he's a Muslim convert, but
soon to be the home of Senator Al Franken.
Yeah, there you go.
Although I did see
soon to be institutionalized Senator Coleman.
Yeah.
I did see a clip of Al Franken circa 1980 appearing in solid gold that they showed the
He wasn't
white
he was
spandex.
Oh yeah.
Pants,
was he dancing?
Pretending to be Mick Jagger.
It
gave
scary.
Me pause as to him entering the Senate. But that's
anything goes in Minnesota.
I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't dig that up and put it in a commercial.
Dug up enough root that they.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. My friends live up there.
Make the comments that they made about his wife as a recovering alcoholic. That goes beyond the pale.
Well, I want to see a debate between Al Franken and Jesse the Body Ventura. I don't care what they talk about.
As long as it's not a
Schwarzenegger, too. There you go.
As long as it's not a wrestling match. Which president was the first to give an inaugural address?
Are you talking just locally, or are you talking covered over radio? To the nation?
Just giving an address to the crowd that's there.
Washington.
Yes, absolutely.
Why wouldn't you say anything?
Yeah. Well, again,
But think about
tradition.
It. Here you are. You're the first president being inaugurated, so you know everything you're going to do is going to be watched, copied, or whatever. Right. What tremendous dignity that man must have had, you know?
Yeah. Thank you. I just flew in from Valley Forge and my arms are tired.
Wow.
Take my teeth, please.
Could have been king if he'd have wanted to be.
Oh,
probably could have been king.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very popular. Which president died of pneumonia a month after giving a 90-minute inaugural address without a coat or hat in a driving ice storm?
Oh, classic. That's a classic.
Yeah.
It's just
Harrison. Right?
Yeah. Harrison. William Henry Harrison.
That's the one I knew. I had to change.
I think we all knew that.
Which president took the oath of office at both the warmest and the coldest January inaugurations?
So that's the two-term president. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I get the question. So it's the same man.
Same man, different inauguration.
No, I thought there was going to be two different answers.
No.
Designed to confuse.
Clinton.
Actually not.
No. Let's see. When was... We had a warm January
Think
recently.
Prune face.
Reagan?
Yeah.
And that's
okay.
a quote from
I was gonna say,
Mayor
no,
Coleman
I meant Nancy.
Young. Wasn't it Coleman Young?
Yeah,
they
called him. Coleman called him old prune face.
I thought, okay, there goes our federal funding.
Coleman was something else,
In fact, Reagan's second inauguration in 1985 was so cold that they didn't hold the inaugural parade.
Yeah.
They had the bands and other performers perform in place in an inside arena because
the
chance of frostbite was very, very high.
Coleman at that time was still bitter from a program called COINTELPRO.
Mm.
You hear that, Roy?
Back
where they
in the
60s, did COINTELPRO in the 60s, where they were spying on any type of social activists, and they were wiretapping their phones.
So what do they call it now?
They call it TIA now.
Yeah,
Total Information Analysis is what they called it.
That's neither
under DARPA.
Coleman Young was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee as well because he had been in a labor organizer with the CIO.
Yeah,
absolutely. That fellow
traveler.
And so
when we think about investigations, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1988.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edmund DeWint, and today we have three of our regulars with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always. On his right, from the Department of History, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Golder, hi.
Hello, yes, that's right. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of Performing Arts and Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
How'd you do, Edwin?
See, who is he today?
I'll just read a lovely article about Australia.
All right. The questions for today, all of which are Bert Tilly questions, have been culled from something like 340,000 of them that he has sent in over the last 6 months. For what cartoon did Donald Duck win his first Oscar? 1942 was the year.
The Donald Duck movies had names.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I'd forgotten that. No. Of course, they had to, didn't they?
Yes.
That old canard?
No.
The farmer takes a wife.
No, it had to do with the war.
Oh, yeah. They sell it now in the video stores, and you see him wearing his little helmet.
That's right.
Okay.
And there was a
song. It's called Donald Duck Uncovered.
No,
it's called Duck Uncovered. Of course.
It's called, I know it. It's called The Ducks of War.
The Ducks of War.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Ask the Professor from January 2009. Matt Mayo and the current panel of professors. We'll be back with more brand new episodes of Ask the Professor later this summer. So email your questions today to atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to this classic edition of Ask the Professor from January 2009.
And we're back with questions about the inauguration. And we're going to turn it over to Roy, who put these together. So hit it.
So far, I think we're 8-0, which is like inverse Lions.
Wow. Right? Oh, no.
Whose inauguration was the first to be photographed?
Who was right before Lincoln? That's my guess. No, I'm asking.
No.
I'm not asking him.
Yeah,
I'm allowed to ask fellow panelists.
Your time frame is right. Right.
Yeah,
you
your time frame is who's right before Lincoln? Well, there were a couple people before
right,
Lincoln.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see. That's how my to guess. How to give a clue? It was Buchanan.
Buchanan.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Who,
no, no, no.
Who also was known for one other thing.
Yeah, there's something else that is very important
unique.
About him.
Yeah.
Very unique. Let's see.
Did it have to do with his physical?
It has to do with his wife, the first lady.
Well, it has to do with the first lady, absolutely.
Yeah, it has to do with the first lady. I'm trying to remember.
Did she die?
No, she was the first one to be on stage with him, right?
Mm-mm. She didn't exist.
She didn't exist.
He didn't have a first lady.
He was a bachelor.
A bachelor. Niece.
Angelica Singleton.
Oh, that's who
that
was.
His hostess.
Oh, that was on there, okay.
Which president was inaugurated twice, but to non-consecutive terms?
Grover Cleveland.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first president to ride to his inauguration in an automobile?
Okay. In
century.
Let's do this mathematically.
That's right.
Yeah. It was in the early 1900s. You got the P?
No.
Okay, then that's not
right. P for president.
Yeah, P for president, I was
going to
say, yeah.
It's cool, it's too late.
Roosevelt.
Coolidge would be a hair too late.
Roosevelt,
yeah,
but
just a little bit too late.
Wilson?
A little too early. Right, a little too early.
Okay, so think about, let's see. Think about someone who they said, this man looks like a president, came from Ohio.
I just watched this last night on the History
okay.
Channel.
And was accused of fathering an illegitimate child in the White House.
Clinton?
No, I'm
just did they accuse him of everything else except that? He's the one they didn't get him on.
I don't know.
Hold on.
There's an elementary school on the west side around, let's see, Schoolcraft and Lodger over that way named after him. And he died. Some people are really suspicious of how he died.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He also, Jay Rogers and some other black writers in the mid-20th century, put forward the idea that he was African-American.
Yes. Yeah.
It's Warren Harding.
Harding.
Yeah. We don't get that
Harding.
One.
Harding Elementary.
We must have Harding, yeah.
By this,
yeah.
What were the Smith homes?
Yeah, right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was wild over there.
Those kids were on the zip-zap-wap there. Whoa.
Which president took the oath of office aboard Air Force One?
Oh, Lyndon.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great photograph.
Which president took the oath of office in Buffalo, New York?
The one after McKinley.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love that's right. You got time frame down. You just go name.
Do I get half?
Yeah. Just think bully. Delighted.
Bully pulpit. Volmoose.
Volmoose.
I don't know.
There's a bear named after him.
I think there is a bear named after him.
Smoker.
And the bandit.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Come on, guys.
Sorry. I gotta read some more books.
Well, that's a good thing to say.
Kind of like, get the timeline in my head.
You're doing great with the timeline. Mathematically, you're doing it.
Except for George W. Bush, who was the last president to take the oath of office after losing the popular vote.
Losing the popular vote.
Not Nixon? Did he lose the popular vote?
Hold on.
I think we were listening to the same programs you got these questions from, because all of these sound like I've heard them in the last couple of weeks.
A lot of these I pulled from
a show or online somewhere.
Hold on, let's see.
Same name as another president.
Yes, that's right.
That we've already mentioned.
Roosevelt.
No.
Wasn't the first Bush?
Same last name.
Yeah, same last name.
Same last name, not first name. He was a Hoosier.
Yes.
Yeah, Indiana.
I give.
Not just Greg Sumner.
No.
That's right. Hold on. We should be able to figure this out.
No.
He was related to that guy that had the top coat problem.
Problem, yeah. The guy who didn't wear the top coat and got sick.
He's related to Harrison?
Yeah. This is different Harrison.
Which uncle makes great rice?
Ben Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison.
Benjamin Harrison. Okay.
All right.
Good, because we were heading into a Pistons losing streak there.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
We deserve to take out.
Which president promised in his inaugural address that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and success of liberty? Actually, one of the more famous quotes from an inaugural address.
Yeah.
It's one of the early ones, isn't it?
Thank you.
I'm going to go with Washington.
No, much later.
Much later.
In I think, all of our lifetimes, or close.
Pretty close.
Post-World War II.
Yeah. But served in World War II.
Oh, okay.
Eisenhower?
On a PT boat.
Kennedy.
Yep.
Kennedy. Yeah. Who was the only president to be inaugurated four times?
Four times.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's only been one.
Because they changed the rules after that.
No,
wrong,
it's Washington.
Wrong Roosevelt.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Franklin. Mm-hmm. FDR. Mm-hmm.
His last inauguration, that's kind of sad, that story. He didn't have a lot of energy. He was really sick by that time, but he used the kind of the excuse of it being wartime and that most of his soldiers were overseas. Wow. So his last inauguration was held at the White House. Mm. And he spoke very briefly, but pictures of it, it's so frightening. I mean, they've shown pictures of presidents, how they age, but that poor man, oh my God, by the end, he just looked so worn. And don't you think? I mean, he just truly did. What a terrible burden to carry. Yeah.
Well, if you've seen the pictures of Lincoln when he looks like a very young man at 60, and then 1865, he looks like,
My
of course,
God.
Part of that may have been, you know, they theorize about Marfan syndrome and other things.
Yeah, true enough, but I mean, he just also looked like worn. Yeah,
the burden.
The burden of,
Well, think of the
some easy ways ahead that wears the crown.
You know?
And then he had to live with Mary.
But he was outside and he was a robust guy that had worked hard. And I mean, he had that. And I think that sense of isolationism, the rest of us, when we feel like overburdened, we can unleash it on our friends or go hang out or do whatever. What happens? Their lives just must so shrink into itself.
In those days, Lincoln and lots of presidents, Polk and others, but they had kind of an open door policy. And the public would just stream through and, you know, harangue him all day long.
Give me a job. That poor man just harassed.
Get my son out of the army.
Yeah, every end.
Which president was administered the oath of office by his father, a notary public?
Yeah, that was in Vermont.
Think Silent.
That was Pierce.
Mm-mm.
No.
Silent Night.
20th century.
20th century. Not a big talker.
I just heard that story too.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan
but
liked him.
But it didn't count because the law only applied to within the state. It was not national.
Well, there was a question, so they redid it later. But just like Obama redid his yesterday.
Yeah,
he had to somebody replace a president who had just died.
Yes.
In fact, a president who just died that we've talked about.
Harrison.
No. Another Hage.
Not McKinley. We already covered him. Harding.
Yeah. That was
replaced Harding.
Yeah.
You're on a roll here, Dan. Yeah, you got to keep going. You got the goal line.
I'm setting you up.
You got the goal line. Just go ahead and take it through.
In fact, he came to national attention because he was Boston police commissioner.
Yes, sadly, he busted on the Boston cops. He fired those cops that went out on strike, and that he talked about the public duty of public servants not to ever go on strike.
Yeah.
You're gonna
very pro business. The man who the man who builds a factory builds a temple. The man who works therein worships
therein. It's scary. His wife
Coolidge.
Was, yeah,
Coolidge.
Oh, Coolidge.
Silent Cal.
Dwight D. Eisenhower's 1953 inaugural was the longest. How long did it last?
Inaugural address?
The speech.
The inaugural
the speech. Yeah. The ceremony or the speech?
No, the ceremony.
90 minutes.
No. You're shy.
Why?
You're shy.
Yeah,
what?
Is the ceremony?
4 hours.
Turn
it's
got to
be three and a half.
Little bit more.
Oh, four and a
five
quarter?
5 hours.
Four and a half. I'll give it to you.
Four and a half hours?
Wow. Yes.
Oh, my God.
For the speeches and all that?
The whole ceremony.
The whole ceremony.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Those people
What are you counting as the ceremony? Like
everyone on stage. Everything on stage.
Everything on stage.
Oh, Obama's was only about 30 minutes.
Well, Obama's was more like an hour, probably. By the time you got through Aretha, and you got through, invocation and benediction.
That was one fine hat she had on.
Made here in Detroit.
Somebody on radios claimed that she had just gotten a bedazzling.
No, I'm not making fun of it, but she clearly makes a statement in every possible way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, that hat.
And she's got pipes.
And you know the other interesting thing? She sang at the March on Washington before MLK's I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She really connects that.
On Monday, they actually showed that speech in its entirety on CNN. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he tried out the I Have a Dream part
here
in Detroit.
Detroit. Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Her dad was the Reverend C.L. Franklin.
Yes, he was. Yeah, her dad, famous reverend.
Yeah.
Whose inauguration was the first to be broadcast on the Internet?
And it's not Harrison. After Al Gore invented it. After Al Gore invented it.
Well, after Al Gore invented it.
He messed it up for everybody.
Well,
it
was probably
Bush too, right?
Clinton.
Clinton, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. He figured that out mathematically.
No, that would have been 97.
Yeah, I would just surprise
you. No, 90.
It was 97. His 97.
Inaugural.
That was the second inaugural. We've got one more.
Well, okay, but we're going to have to save that till next week. So let me thank the panel. Let's see. Well, panelist and part-time moderator today, Professor Fingerbein.
Well, it's been interesting, Kathy.
It surely has. Professor Boats.
I sing the body politic.
Excellent. Professor Barnes.
Fired up and ready to go.
Let's go. All right. Professor Maggio.
Amen.
As the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department studios here at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. As the Professor is produced, technically directed, and saved week by week by Michael Jason. Thank you, Michael. And our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Go Titan Athletes!
And we're back with another summertime classic edition of Ask the Professor next week. So please plan to join us.